I'd like to begin this goodbye farewell sermon with a couple of famous and not so famous quotes about saying goodbye. For example, I don't know if you realize that it was Bill Haley and the Comets who popularized the famous farewell, see you later, alligator. Of course, there's revisions to that. After a while, crocodile. Not too soon, you old baboon. Okay, that's a little too far there. Or it was Oscar Wilde who once said, some cause happiness wherever they go, others whenever they go. I hope that's not true today. It was General MacArthur's famous farewell speech to Congress to sort of jab his nemesis, Harry Truman, who said, you know, old soldiers never die, they just fade away. Of course, there are variations of that one, too. That old fishermen never die, they just smell that way. And then there's one, old ministers never die, they just go out to pastor. I like that. You know, it was Bob Dylan who once sang to a lover who abruptly betrayed him. He said and sang, goodbye is too good a word. So I'll just say, fare thee well. Well, I want to say goodbye today because goodbye is a good word, isn't it? In fact, it's the parallel of adios or adieu. It means literally, God be with you, God go with you, and you go with God and go to God. It's a great way to say farewell. God be with you. Goodbye. So as I thought about saying goodbye, I thought about there are at least three famous goodbyes in the Scripture. The first is the book of Deuteronomy, which is essentially Moses' goodbye to the people of Israel. Remember the context there, that Israel is poised to cross the Jordan and go into the Promised Land, and like Martin Luther King, he had been to the mountaintop, he had seen the Promised Land, but he knew that he was not going to enter in with them. So he gives them this sermon of goodbye, this farewell. Scholars tell us that there's 34 chapters in Deuteronomy. There's about 500 words in each chapter. So that means that sermon probably lasted about 3 hours. Now, I promise not to go that long today. But he recounts in that farewell 40 years of how faithful God was to the people of Israel, as well as how the covenant and the need to abide by the covenant will bring either blessings or curses depending on their obedience to it. So that's the first farewell. The second is the one I read from Acts chapter 20. And that's Paul's address to the elders of Ephesus on his way to Jerusalem, realizing bad things are going to happen there. In fact, Paul anticipates basically he's going to be martyred, right? But so he tells them, this is the last time you're going to see my face. And they wept. And then he warns them that once I'm gone, fierce and voracious wolves are going to come in and try to tear asunder the body of Christ there in Ephesus. That's what he warns them of. The third and final discourse is Jesus' famous farewell. John 17 in the upper room, as it's the eve of his crucifixion, it's his last chance to impart information to his disciples. And he encourages them and tells them, you're not going to be orphaned, don't worry, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. But he also prays that they might be one. That after he leaves, that they might be united. And by being united, the world will know that God the Father sent God the Son, because these group of people who are so different are still united. That's what he prays. So using that as my inspiration, I'd like to be like Moses and to remind you, one and all, of the past and how faithful God has been to Second Union in its almost 60 years in existence. Now, some of you may not know, as David and others are in a search process, that I am here in this pulpit today because of a failed search process. Did you know that? Some of you may not know that. You see, prior to my coming here, I went through one of the worst experiences of my life. Even worse than what we just went through in the last month. Trying to get 30 years of stuff in one little cubicle. But what I went through was a divorce. I know why God says, I hate divorce. Because divorce is a horrible thing. It not only destroys the two who supposedly became one, it destroys their children, it destroys their public witness. I was destroyed. In fact, I was ready to resign. I even turned in my resignation. I thought my life was over. I thought my ministry was over. Now, I did not expect or want divorce. I didn't believe in divorce, but as the saying goes, it takes two to say I do, and only one to say I don't. So that was a very bad, bad time in my life. One of the worst times. But by the grace of God, I didn't give up. And after about a year and a half of moping around, I decided, you know what? I'm going to reinvent myself. I'm going to let God do something new in my life. And many of you know I served the Union Church in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, which I loved. I love the Union Church idea. I love Latin America. And I said to God, God, you know, I would go to any church in Latin America that you open a door to. Any door. I'll go through the first door you open. That's one great thing about being desperate. We're finally available to God. Right? And guess what door opened up? You got it. But the only reason it opened up was because of a delay caused by a pastor who the pulpit committee selected, called down here, did a guest preaching. They voted. They wanted this guy. And then guess what? He said, I ain't coming. That had to start the whole process all over again. But guess what? That gave me time to get my resume in. So that problem turned into my provision, right? But upon my arrival here, I learned that God had been working in other ways. For I discovered very early on, in fact, my first visit, that there was a beautiful blonde, blue-eyed woman here who loved God, who loved Second Union, and I hope it maybe loved me. And she had all of those qualifications plus one. You know what it was? She was from the state of Ohio! I mean, amen. How could this not be God's will, right? Go figure. Of course, after 17 years later, we're still in love. And we're still serving God together. And like Moses, we can look back and reflect upon some of the superstars of this church in the last 50 years of the past, as we're thinking of the past, as we think of people like the Yosts and Scotty Woodward and the Castells and the Castillos and the Truesdales and the Rileys and the Becketts, Dennis and Linda Glenn and the Wilcoxes, the Skyanos, the Jandros, the Marxes, the Molars, Walter Kaiser, Rochelle, the McMurrays, the Ramoses, the Pahes, Greg Romanchuk, the Seelys, so many others in the past. As we think of the past, there are great personalities who dominated certain areas and brought ministries to this church, and God used them mightily, as He's using you here now. So like Moses, I can say we can look back and know that God has been so good to us in the past. In fact, He reminded them that God was so faithful to them that even the shirts on their backs did not wear off in 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Thus, if God was that faithful in the past, then He can certainly be faithful in the future, right? And I hope you believe that about Second Union. But like Paul's farewell sermon, where they cried, when Paul said in verse 25, none of you will see my face again. I make this farewell, and we make this farewell, with plenty of tears. But I think that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it should be, I think. I was reading in the Daily Bread a week or so ago a quote from C.S. Lewis where he says, you know, there's, quote, no safe investment when a person loves another person. That's the investment. That's the risk we all take when we love someone, isn't it? It could be painful. And we know that. But there's no other way to live life, is there? Except to take those risks and maybe suffer those sadness. We're not Buddhists. We're Christians. We know that God uses suffering, sadness. And that's something that we've had to do over and over again, and that's cry. As through the years, we've said so many goodbyes here, and I think that's one of the hardest things to pastor a church like Second Union. People are often here only 2 or 3 years. They cycle in and they cycle out. It was Carly Simon who sang, you know, nobody stays in one place anymore. Isn't that true? Especially here. So it's like ministering to a parade. It was. I mean, you see people come and you think, oh, they're only going to be here a year or two. I'm not going to get involved with them. But then you realize, you know what? This is our ministry. We've got to love these people. Even though we know in 2 or 3 years, we're going to say goodbye to them. But that's how it works. I mean, you feel like Sisyphus, you know, he works all day to get that rock up to the top of the hill. In the morning, it's down on the bottom again. You work so hard to get a team together and things are happening. Things are thriving. There's great ministries. And then you say goodbye and you have to kind of start all over it. But we said goodbye to so many wonderful people, and those are really hard goodbyes. But I think the hardest goodbyes were those who were here for so long, long time before we were here, and then left. I mean, those are the people you're not suspecting will ever leave, and suddenly they announce they're leaving, and I'm sure that's how some of you felt when we announced that we were leaving. You thought we'd never leave. Even though, truth be told, I used to say way back, that when Robbie and JJ graduate from Baldwin, we'll probably leave. That was about 15 years ago. Right? But I also said many times, you know, I don't believe that a pastor should pastor a church longer than 10 years. Because what happens after 10 years is the church starts looking too much like the pastor. Not only his or her strengths, but his or her weaknesses. And one of my weaknesses, truth be told, I know, is I've spoiled some of you, many of you, by doing too much, by doing things that you should have done. And I should have been nurturing and delegating you to do those things. So in my absence, you're going to have to pay for that weakness, and you're going to have to step up, you're going to have to step out, and you're going to have to get involved. But I will also say that one of the downsides of a long ministry is that, but one of the upsides is this Wednesday night, we're going to baptize a girl who came into this sanctuary in arms. I remember her as a baby, Akilah. And I get the privilege of baptizing her as she's going to be going off to college. So we intended to leave a long time ago, but then our economic hard times hit and we didn't feel like we could leave at that point. And then Maria hit, and we couldn't leave Second Union, and we couldn't leave Puerto Rico, and then earthquakes hit, and then COVID hit, and we certainly didn't feel we could leave during that. Finally, circumstances changed in this time. After saying goodbye to so many other people, it's our turn to say goodbye. But it's not easy to do it. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be easy. I shared with some of you this morning that quote from Dr. Seuss. Don't cry when it's over. Smile because it happened. And that's true. That's good advice. But still, even though that's true, it's still hard not to cry when you say goodbye. Someone also said that goodbyes make you think. They make you realize what you had, what you've lost, what you've taken for granted. And they do, don't they? As Winnie the Pooh once said, how lucky I am that I have something that makes goodbye so hard. And that's true too. Maura Rogers said the two hardest things to say in life are hello for the first time and goodbye for the last. Colleen Hoover said, I thought I was stronger than a word, but I just discovered that having to say goodbye is by far the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And it is, as we will certainly miss all of you individually and collectively as a church, as we've been crying a lot these last several days as we think of all that we're losing in our going. But I will say, in contrast, the Apostle Paul and his day, we have what Paul didn't have. And you know what that is? Jet planes. It's only a 3-hour trip back to Puerto Rico. And guess what? Those planes go both ways. I hope you remember that. So there you go. That's the famous second farewell in the Bible. But the third and most famous farewell speech, perhaps, is Jesus' farewell in the upper room on the departure of his death. In that farewell, he said two very important things. And the first is that he prays that they might be unified, even as he and the Father are united as one. And this kind of goes along with Paul's farewell, where he says to the elders there in Ephesus that wolves will come in and devour the flock. And of course, Paul was referring to those who were going to come in as circumcisers and were going to try to resurrect the power of the law and obscure the power of grace. But wolves can be a metaphor of any force of division that comes into a body and ravages God's little lambs. So we as a congregation need to guard against that divisiveness of ego, of gossip, of intolerance, of stubbornness, and the temptation to carve out our own little fiefdom and to promote and defend its needs and its mission above the mission of the gospel and the mission of the kingdom, right? So too, it'll be the temptation for some to swoop in where a vacuum is created, because a vacuum is going to be created. And that, of course, is a good thing. That should happen in the body of Christ. But as we swoop in, let's remember that we're taking up that ministry to be a servant of all rather than to be served, right? Amen. Isn't that what Jesus' message was? Isn't that what he's still trying to teach his disciples after 3 years of ministry? In the upper room, they're still divided. And what does he do as a final metaphor to remind them that he came to serve and not be served, and they should go and serve and not be served? He gets down on his knees and he cleans their stinking feet just to show them what ministry really means. So if you love me and if you love Christy and if you love Christ, then use this transition period to step up, step out, and serve others. That's what we need to do. That's the best way you can show your appreciation to me and Christy. To love Christ, to love this church, to love his body, and to love the next pastor. And to encourage that pastor and pray for that pastor and come alongside that pastor. That will be the best way that you can show your love to us. But the second and final thing that Jesus told his disciples was that even though he was leaving them, he was not leaving them as orphans. That is, even though he was leaving them to be elevated to sit at the right hand of God the Father, he was going to then send what? The Comforter. He was going to send the Holy Spirit in his stead to create a new era with new power to bring the message of the gospel to the world. And I believe in our going, God will pour out his Holy Spirit upon new leadership, new direction, new vision, new ideas, new ministries, that you will not be left orphaned because God cannot be shaken. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we know in life that we take the risk of pain and sadness when we love others. We wish it weren't so. We wish that people didn't die. We wish that people wouldn't go away. We wish that relationships wouldn't fall apart. But Lord, we are glad that we can take that risk because you took that risk on us by giving us free will, by giving us the opportunity to reject you, but also giving us the opportunity to turn to you and love you truly out of gratitude. Lord, this is a sad time for Christy and me. That's because we love these people so much. And they've loved us so much. And you've loved us so much, Lord. And you've shaped us and changed us and transformed us, each of us, one to another, as iron sharpens iron, Lord. We've sharpened one another and loved each other, and pushed each other, and encouraged each other, and pulled each other. And Lord, we're thankful that these relationships never end. That we may be separated by time and space, Lord, but we know that second union is going to have a great union, reunion one day in heaven. Amen, Lord. I look forward to that alumni meeting. I pray that you be preparing that massive room even now because it's going to be a party, Lord. And we look forward to that. We look forward to the fact that that's never going to change, that we're one in you forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. Amen.